Welcome to the Grace for This City podcast. We're helping you turn your city upside down. I'm your host, Justin Goff. We got a great podcast for you today. All right. Hey, thanks so much for tuning into the podcast today. Hey, we got a special show for you. We're really excited to be here today. And I want to talk a little bit about the blood of Jesus. I want to talk about judgment, and I want to talk about what's before his face. That'll be in segment one. Also today on the podcast, we've got a very special guest. We'll be making a phone call to my good friend Josh Radford in Florida. He'll be on the podcast via telephone here shortly, and so stay tuned for that. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to Psalm 89. Verse 14. Now, this is very interesting. Of course, depending on when you're listening to this, we are in a national pandemic right here in the United States. Of course, all over the world, there are people who are experiencing an outbreak of the coronavirus, COVID-19. And, you know, if you've been watching and listening, of course, people's theology is all over the place. You know, no one knows, is this from God? Is this from the devil? Is God using it? What is this? You know, is this just, you know, the results of, you know, fallen creation? You know, the earth is groaning under the weight of sin. Is this man's irresponsibility? You know, I mean, is this a science project, you know, gone haywire? You know, what is this? People are all over the place. Now, one thing we do know is people are freaking out. People are afraid. They are deathly afraid of this virus. And so, you know, there's just a lot of very interesting things that are concerning this. And so I just want to talk to you here briefly about God as judge. Psalm chapter 89, verse 14, it says this, that justice and judgment are the habitation. One translation says the foundation of thy throne. It is true. God is the judge. God is the judge. Is this judgment? Well, the way people are saying this is judgment is that God is just pouring out his wrath on everybody. But, you know, the Bible says that he is the judge, and that is true. His throne is established on justice and judgment. He says he hates robbery, but he loves justice. In other places, he says vengeance is mine. But in the book of Hosea, it tells us who gets what. And he says that his wrath is for his enemies. I don't know about you, but I've been born again. And 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says that we are not appointed to wrath. And so, you know, where are we at? Where are you at? Is there a difference between God's enemies and those who are born again, those who are in covenant with him? Is there a difference between God's adversaries and the body and the bride of Christ? And I believe there is a difference, and a very stark difference, that the blood of Jesus is speaking of better things concerning those who are in covenant with the Lord Jesus Christ, those into which have received his sacrifice, those who have received the substitutionary work of Jesus going to the cross for them. If you are born again, if you have redemption, you're born again, you have redemption through that blood, is there a difference between you and everybody else? Well, the short answer to that is yes, there is a big difference. Psalm 89, 14, justice and judgment are the habitations of thy throne. His throne is established or built upon justice and judgment. But what does that mean? Well, he has to give to man according to his ways. Somebody has to read man's heart. Somebody has to differentiate between the decisions that man is choosing. Somebody has to make an honest and accurate decision regarding what's in man's heart. Who is that? Who does that? Well, I believe that's the Lord. And in that sense, he is the judge. In that sense, he is doing something righteous, something holy, something only he could do. Look at this in Jeremiah 17. 9 and 10, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Who does that? Well, the Lord does. Why? Because he's the judge. I'm so glad he's the judge and not the devil or some other, you know, being or person God is honest. Let God be true and every man a liar. God is holy. I'm glad he's the judge. What is the judge doing? Well, he is testing the mind and searching the hearts. And what's he doing with what he finds? Well, he's giving to every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. 1 Kings 8:39 says, "Then here in heaven, your dwelling place, and act and give to everyone according to all his ways, whose heart you know. For you alone know the heart of all the sons of men." Psalm 139:2, "You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thoughts from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all." So we understand that God is an all-knowing God. He knows you better than you know you. He reads you and understands your motives. God is honest, accurate, and he is truth. He does not lie and he does not change nor alter his commands. Now look at this in Proverbs 19:3. In the Amplified Bible, it says, "The foolishness of man subverts his way or runs his affairs. Then his heart is resentful and frets against the Lord." Well, why do you think when man runs his way, why do you think his heart frets against the Lord? Because God is judge. What is he doing? He's saying, this is the decisions that you made. This is the seed that you sown. And I said in God said in Galatians chapter 3, that he would not be mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. Well, who is determining these things behind the scenes? Well, God is the judge. He's the one testing hearts and, searching hearts and testing minds. He's the one who has to say, this is what you sowed. This is what you must reap. Oh, praise God that God is the judge and not someone else. I mean, what if there was an unrighteous judge? Would there be justice? No, there wouldn't. Even if you did right, if there was an unrighteous judge, even if you did right, there's no guarantee that the unrighteous judge would rule in your favor. God is righteous. God is truth. God is the judge. The easy-to-read version of Proverbs 19 says, "People ruin their lives with the foolish things they do, and then they blame the Lord for it." Well, why would they blame the Lord? Well, because he permits the consequences of their actions. So, you know, people are arbitrarily just saying, oh, God's judging everybody. He's judging everybody. This is judgment. The virus is judgment. It's judgment. It's judgment. Well, it may be the result. It may be the consequences, and it may be the fruit of some men's actions. But what about you? What if you are born again? Does judgment come upon you? Let's just say that this is the wrath of God. Are you God's enemy? Are you an adversary to God? Or are you in right relationship with him? Are you righteous before him? How are you righteous? If you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, the blood has made you righteous. Is there a difference then between righteous people, people in covenant, and God's adversaries and his enemies? Now, I don't believe the virus is from God. I don't believe the virus is judgment in that sense. And then people are saying, well, God allowed it. Well, the way they're saying God allowed it is God orchestrated it, authorized it. He was the creator. He's the cause. And even though the devil may be the one putting it on people, the devil is only acting in an authority that he's getting from God because God is allowing it to bring people to himself. Well, God doesn't have to use a virus to draw people to himself. The Holy Ghost does that. The virus doesn't convict the world of sin. The Holy Ghost convicts the world of sin. But why would God prompt men to turn to himself? Well, because he desires that none should perish, that all would be saved. So, what about this verse in Psalm 89? Let me get back to it. Psalm 89:14. Judgment is the foundation of his throne. Well, what's always before his face, though? What's before his face? The King James Version says mercy goes before his face. What is the word mercy? Very interesting here. The word mercy is the Hebrew word hesed. Hesed. It's the Hebrew word hesed. Hesed is God's obligation to covenant people. What is hesed? Hesed is God's obligation. What's before his face? Hesed is before his face. So if justice and judgment are the foundation or habitation of his throne, but hesed is before his face. What does that mean? Even if God is contemplating, what direction a particular judgment or a verdict should go, there's a consideration for certain people, though. I'm going to read you a little bit of what the word hesed means. Oh, this word hesed, powerful word, powerful word. Let me get to it here. The word hesed means this. The working definition of hesed includes mercy. Here in Psalm 89, it's translated mercy. In other places throughout the Bible, it's translated loving kindness, and it's even translated favor in various places. But the working definition of hesed, while it includes mercy, in a greater understanding, it contains an obligatory relational element. Hesed is very closely related to the concept of mercy, but is distinguished from it in that hesed is obligatory. Subjectively understood, hesed can appear as favor or even compassion. Objectively, hesed remains obligatory, determined by the divinely based commandment, which are now laws. God's hesed can only be understood as Yahweh's covenantal relationship towards his followers. God's hesed is the result of his covenant, his promises, and his oaths. The significance of hesed can be rendered by loyalty, mutual aid, and or reciprocal love. If God's hesed is comprehended in this manner, then it is certain that only those who stand in an ethical and religious relationship with him may receive and expect his hesed. God has obligated himself through covenant to manifest his strength and power on behalf of his faithful and bring them aid, salvation, and protection when needed. So God is the judge, but what's before his face? Well, there's a special consideration, obligation to covenant people. That special consideration is before his face. So what about this virus? What about anything? What about any pandemic? What about any judgment? What about any natural disaster? What about any plague or tornado or hurricane? What about anything that is destructive? What about anything, whether it's naturally caused, you know, some symptomatic result of sin in the earth, the fallen nature of things, the weight and the pressure that the earth is, you know, living under? Whether it's caused from that, whether it's caused from man's ignorance, irresponsibility, maybe it's a science, you know, experiment gone haywire, or maybe it's something spiritual, maybe it's demonically backed, maybe it's something that the devil or a demon is conjuring up. You know, we saw different things in the New Testament where men on the earth who had yielded themselves to demonic power could take control of the natural elements. Even Jannes and Jambres in the Old Testament, the two warlocks, the wizards who stood before Moses, even they could replicate a few of the plagues. What about the man at the Gadarenes with the legion who was able to conjure up a storm to try and resist Jesus from crossing over? Okay, what about that? Well, what's before God's face? If judgment is being rendered here, based on the decisions of men, what's in their hearts, and according to the fruit of their ways, there's a special consideration. There's a mercy. There's a favor. There's a special consideration for those who are in covenant with the Almighty. And the blood has done that. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that we have redemption. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Elsewhere, the Bible tells us that the new covenant we have with him is founded on the blood. And in this blood, in this blood covenant, through this blood covenant, we have redemption. The word redemption means division. It means deliverance. It means separation. In the Old Testament, in Exodus chapter 8, the Hebrew word for redemption is translated distinction. It's translated difference. It's translated division. It's even translated wall of separation. See, there's a distinction between covenant people and non-covenant people. So what about the virus? Well, it doesn't matter where it comes from. It doesn't matter if it's judgment from God, which I don't believe it is, But it doesn't matter if it was. It doesn't matter if it's a natural cause. It doesn't matter if it's man's irresponsibility. It doesn't matter if it's conjured up by the devil himself through some wizard or warlock on the earth. It doesn't matter where it's from. Are you in covenant? Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ through the blood? Are you born again? Well, there's a special consideration for you. You, if you're in covenant with Jesus, you are before the face of the Almighty, the judge of all things. Oh, hallelujah. You need to get born again. If you're not born again, you need to get born again. You need to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart right now. Hallelujah. You need to say, I thank you that you died on the cross for me. And in that substitutionary work, his blood was shed. And on the basis of that shed blood, it allows the Holy Ghost to come in, cause you to be born again. Now, through your new life in Christ Jesus, there's a new law concerning you. It's the law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And that allows for redemption or the distinction to be made. Remember in Exodus chapter 12, when they were told to put the blood on the doorpost, he said that would be a sign of your deliverance. That would be a sign of your redemption. It would be a sign of your distinction. The blood is the sign. So when the judge sees the blood, he said in Exodus chapter 12, when I see the blood, judgment will pass over you. Ah, hallelujah. So once again, doesn't matter where the virus is from. It could, let you know, if you believe it's judgment, well, who gets the wrath or the judgment of God? Think about this. If you're born again, you are the body of Christ Jesus. Is the Heavenly Father judging Jesus? If you are hidden in covenant, Acts says that in him, in Christ, we live and move and have our being. If you are in Christ Jesus, is Jesus' body getting judged? Is the Heavenly Father treating the body of Jesus the same as he would his enemies and his adversaries? Is the wrath of God being poured out on the body of Jesus? Then the Bible likens us to a bride. And let's say, you know, this may not be the best way of saying it, but maybe let's say it like this. You are Jesus' future wife. Ooh, is the Heavenly Father judging the future wife of his son Jesus? Is he pouring out his wrath on the bride of Christ? Does he treat Jesus' future wife the same as he treats his enemies and his adversaries? No, there's a special consideration. For who? He's obligated himself to his hesed. He's obligated himself to have special considerations for those he is in covenant with. Hallelujah. And those that are in covenant with Jesus Christ, he said, I'll take all sickness and disease out of your midst. See, he's obligated himself to that, folks. He's obligated himself to it. What's before his face? His hesed, his obligation. His obligation to those who are in covenant. That's before his face, always before his face, always before his face. Listen, friend, I want you to really double down on this. You need to know what the blood of Jesus has purchased for you. And as we get closer to wrapping this thing up, this generation, we're the finishers. We're anointed to finish. As we get closer to wrapping this thing up, there's going to be a lot of crazy stuff happening. Jesus prophesied that in the end times that there will be pestilences. And the Greek word he used was a medical term to describe sicknesses and diseases, but he used the plural form, meaning that out of nowhere, there's going to be sicknesses and diseases. You know, kind of like this one, that they don't know what it is. They really don't have a cure for it. They're racing. They're scrambling. They're trying to find a cure. And I think they have discovered some things that are helping significantly. But what I'm saying is just out of nowhere, whoa, here's a pestilence. Well, Jesus prophesied that in the end of days, these things would be happening. And in Thessalonians, Paul was writing to the church saying, look, there's going to be some stuff happening that will make your head spin, but you're going to have to stay focused. That whether or not these are judgments, or whether or not these are just demonic manifestations, or whether or not these are just the natural realm responding to the weight of sin, you are different. You are different. You are in the world, but you are not of the world. judgment is not for you, folks. If you're in Christ Jesus, judgment isn't for you. Wrath isn't for you. And so you're going to have to know, as you are standing by, navigating these crazy times, you're going to have to know that there's a difference between you and everybody else. Another reason why evangelism is going to go through the roof. The church, while we still have the time to work, the church needs to be busy. Why? Because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the heart of the Father. He wants people delivered. He wants people set free. He wants people conveyed out of the powers of darkness and into the kingdom of the Son of his love. That's why you and I are still here. Remember Jesus prayed in John 17, I'm not praying that they'd be taken from the world, but that they would be kept safe from the evil one. Oh, hallelujah. Listen, we're still here because we're on assignment. We've got a job to do. There are millions and billions of people that need to know the truth, the gospel of what Jesus has done for them. They're being sold lies. They need to know Jesus. This is why we are still here. But judgment, wrath, that's not for us. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he said, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. Listen, they, them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. They, them, they. Look at verse 1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night to them. He said, you know this. But he said, they, them, don't. But you, brethren, verse 4, you are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do. Let us watch and be sober. Now, in this passage, he doesn't add this, but if we were to add this with other scriptures, what Jesus is saying is we're of the day. And while it is still day, we must work. We must be after our Father's business. We must do business. We must occupy till he comes. So the idea is that we've been enlightened, but we're still here on mission and on assignment to enlighten others to the knowledge of the truth of Jesus Christ. He said, therefore, let us not sleep as the others do. Let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. Verse 9, for God did not appoint us to wrath. God is the judge. He's the judge. Somebody has to be honest. Somebody has to defend justice. Somebody has to establish righteousness. God is the judge. But folks, what's before his face? His covenantal obligations to those he's in relationship with. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. And the blood of Jesus has afforded this for us. Well, I just wanted to encourage you with that today. Make sure that you are strengthening yourself, encouraging yourself, building yourselves up on what you have through the blood of Jesus. So when crazy stuff starts happening out there, your heart will not grow weary and faint because you know you're abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. Remember Psalms 91, no plague shall come nigh you. You, who's the you? That person is the one in covenant with Jesus. See, the blood makes a distinction. Plagues are going to come near a lot of people. Viruses, plagues, sicknesses, diseases. Oh, demonic manifestations. 2 Timothy chapter 3 welcomes Jannes and Jambres back on the scene. Conjurers, diseases, plagues. Oh, yeah. But there's a distinction between covenant people and non-covenant people. Oh, these are the darkest days the earth has ever experienced. But at the same time, the light of the world is still on the earth. And that's you, my friend. That's you. If you're born again, you carry light. If you are born again, you are salt. If you are born again, you are a city on a hill which cannot be hidden. Oh, Father, help us in the name of Jesus. Help us, help us, help us. Help us do a good job. Help us be that light. Help us be that salt. Help us be that city on a hill. Listen, people are going to need a place of refuge that they can run to. And when all hell is breaking loose around them, when plagues and diseases, when people are freaking out, when they're deathly afraid, when it looks like nothing is working, guess who's still on the earth? You and I. Covenant people. And we carry a message of redemption. We carry a message of salvation. We carry a message of protection. We carry a message of a loving God. But I'm telling you, he demands blood. So get right with Jesus. Let that blood cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Well, I hope you're encouraged by that. I'm going to make a phone call. I'm going to get my good friend Josh Radford on the phone. And so stay tuned here in just a minute. We'll get him on the phone right now. And we'll be encouraged and strengthened with a word from the Lord from our friend Josh. Here we go. Calling in. Stay tuned. Right. There we go. Hello, Josh. Can you hear me?
I am with you, Pastor Justin.
Hey, everybody. Here is Josh Radford. He is an evangelist. He is a prophetic voice. He is a revivalist all the way from Manchester, England.
And come on, somebody.
And the Lord has brought this man and his family as a missionary of sorts, hallelujah, to the United States. And, of course, Josh, you've been to our church in Harrison, Arkansas, Grace City Church. You've been here several times. You do a lot of work in the Midwest, of course, all over. But you are a regular visitor to the Midwest. Thank you so much for joining us today on the podcast.
Well, I'm so glad to be with you here today. And, you know, I like what you said at the beginning, and I say that about myself is, I'm a missionary to America. I'm in the uttermost parts of the earth right now. And what a great time to be a missionary.
Yes, sir.
And one of the things about missionaries, especially those in a foreign field, is, you know, they're out with the people. And, you know, it doesn't matter that they've...
Oh, did we lose you, Josh? Technical difficulties live and on the air.
I'm here.
There,
are you with me?
There we go. Yep, we got you back.
Okay. I don't know what you heard, but anyway, the missionary's job is to be there with the people. Is to be there. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. Is to be there with the people. And that's what we're here for, the people of America, reaching out to them, you know, being with them and right here in this crucial and critical time.
This is a crucial and critical time.
Let me ask you this question real quick, just on a technical thing. What are we on Facebook Live?
We are on Facebook Live. And
on
we
Grace
are,
City?
On Grace for This City podcast page.
Oh, podcast page.
Yep.
Okay, got it. I just want to share it with my audience.
Okay. Yeah, so hey, if you're tuning in live right now on Facebook, yeah. We got several people watching. You can go ahead and share this broadcast. This is also going out on our audio podcast platforms as well. So be looking for us on Podbean, Spotify, and iTunes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I see where you are. I got you now.
Okay.
I'm going to share you. I'm gonna share to a page.
So this is Josh Radford, everybody, and we've got him piped in here. If you're watching us online right now on Facebook, you can't see Josh. We're going to get that set up to where we can bring in guests where you can actually see him. But we've got him on the phone right now live. He's in Florida. We're in Arkansas. And he's being piped in via Bluetooth technology.
This post has been shared to your timeline. Praise God. Okay, so you're watching right now. And those of you that are looking at our timeline, you're seeing Pastor Justin Goff there for Grace for the City podcast. I am a guest. And we're coming here, and obviously we're in the middle of this major national crisis. But this is what the Lord told me. He said, "He said, are you there, Brother Justin?"
Yep. We're
okay. He said to me, "You will prosper through this." You know, God takes prosperity seriously. He takes the abundance seriously. And, you know, my son, he's just 13 years old. He's doing, you know, distance learning right now, and the school shut down. And he's in a Christian school. And one of his projects was ask your, you know, what is your needs? What are your greatest needs? Or what are the needs that you worry about the most?
Okay.
My son says, "Dad, how am I going to answer that question? What are the needs that I worry about the most?" I said, "This is the way you're going to answer." I said, "I don't worry about any needs because Jesus meets all my needs according to his riches in glory."
Yes. Great answer.
Come on. That's Philippians. And I'm just going to read it to you real quick. Here we go. Philippians 4:19. "And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs." Come on, somebody. Mm-hmm. "From his glorious riches," glory to God, "which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And my God will supply all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." I read from a number of different translations.
Right.
But come on, somebody.
Come on.
He's going to supply. He is the supply. I know we're going through a lot of things. And the reason why I'm talking about this, Pastor Justin, is because there are a lot of things happening in the earth today. But one of the difficulties that people have seemed to be having the most is supply.
Right.
Right? Isn't that what everybody's talking about? Oh, yep. We don't have enough of this. We don't have enough of this, enough ventilators, enough masks, enough. We're dealing with a supply. There isn't a supply shortage, but people think there's a supply shortage.
Right, right.
That's a mirage of the devil. Mm. That's a mirage of the devil. Heaven is where you get your supply, and in heaven, there is no shortage of supply. Come on, somebody.
Come on.
And what I just want to encourage your listeners, your viewers, I just want to encourage them. I want to encourage them greatly that there is no shortage of supply of healing, of supply of finances, of supply of whatever it is you may need. There is no shortage.
That's good.
And I believe that's what we need to be speaking to our people. You know, I just got off the phone with a good friend of my friend, longtime friend. He is in the computer business.
Okay.
Okay. He fixes, repairs, and sells laptops online. Like, it's an online company. And I said, "How's business?" He says, "Business is crazy good." He said, "I actually was praying that it slowed down a little bit."
Oh, come on.
because he was so, he'd never been so busy in all his business. And I said, "Glory to God," because I was just checking on him. I was trying to see how he's doing. I said, "Praise God," you know. Mm. And anyways, there's such thing in being in the right place in the right time.
Sure.
And if you're in fellowship with God, You're in the right place at the right time. It's God has got you in his hand. It says nobody can pluck you out of his hand.
Mm.
And you when you're in right relationship with God, you can't be taken out of that hand. You're protected. Come on, somebody.
That's good.
I believe that. There's no shortage of supply. You're protected by God. You're going to be okay. You're going to prosper through this. You're going to go through this in Jesus' name. Now, there's one other thing I want to cover before. I know you're probably going to have to let me go in a little bit here.
Yes.
But thank you. You got to cut the line a little bit.
No. Go ahead.
But
and share
I know we were talking the other day about a few things, and I wanted to share with your viewers. Hey, remember this. Don't put your head in the sand. Put your head in the sand. There is a diabolical, evil plan from the enemy to kill this nation, to shut down the church, and to destroy the body of Christ.
Right.
That's the plan of the enemy. Be aware that that's going on. And no matter what side of the political spectrum or what side of the thought process that you're on, my friend, we can all agree with this. We should be able to all agree with this, that this virus must end now in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
And just like, you know, Jesus, remember him stopping the storm?
Right.
You know, he calmed the seas. Uh-huh. He calmed the waves. And I love what the King James Version, says it. The disciples looked, and I want to get to the scripture right now real quick. The disciples looked at him and they marveled. Matthew 8:27. They marveled and said, but the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? Mm-hmm. Come on.
Yeah.
What manner of man is this? I'll tell you what type of man Jesus is. Holy Ghost filled man.
That's it.
On fire man. The river of God in his belly man. Man that is a conqueror. Man that is an overcomer. He lived as a Holy Ghost filled man to show us how we could live as a Holy Ghost filled men and women. And I'm telling you, you are of the manner of the supernatural.
Hallelujah.
That's the manner that you come from. This, what manner of man is this? He's a supernatural man. You're a supernatural man. You're a supernatural woman. You have the power and authority on the inside of you to calm the sea. Glory to God. The sea. It is a raging storm out there, but you have the authority to put your hands up, speak to the elements, speak to the laws of nature, and command that wind to cease in the name of Jesus. It said, even the winds and the sea obeyed. Even the winds and the sea obey. Those are natural elements. Wind, the sea, the wind, water, right?
That's right.
Wind, water, fire. Those are all natural elements. They have to obey the name of Jesus. Glory to God.
Amen.
And hey, so I want to encourage you in those things today. It's good to be with you, Brother Justin.
Yeah. Hey, if you're just tuning in, we're on the line with Josh Radford, evangelist, revivalist, prophetic voice out of Florida. Josh, thank you so much for being here, for encouraging us. Hey, also speak to real quick before we let you go. And then, of course, we want to give some information on how people can get in touch with you and follow what's happening. But this thing doesn't need to just continue on. We don't need to just lie down and let it, quote, run its course. The body of Christ needs to stand up against this thing, right?
No, absolutely. Listen, you know, we are people of faith. We're going to make it. Our ministry is going to prosper through this. But there are people in the body right now that are in turmoil. Smaller churches, some bigger churches, evangelists, missionaries that rely on the public meeting, mass crusade evangelists who do mass crusades where hundreds of thousands of people get saved. We have got to, if it's not just for us, maybe you've got a business that you're prospering through this. Think about those that are not. And I want you to stand up on their behalf. Stand up on their behalf, because that church that you love so much might not be in existence anymore unless you stand up on their behalf. Mm-hmm. Listen, we're people of faith. Our ministry is going to be in existence no matter what happens, because that's just the nature of what we believe. But we need to stand with our brothers and sisters that are struggling right now, that are having difficulty right now, and we need to stand up and speak against this. And some, they got family members that are dying.
Yeah.
And, you know, because this, it's a real situation.
It is.
You know, no matter what you believe, whether it's just a regular disease or it's a bioweapon, you know, whatever side of the spectrum you go on, it's real. And it's killing people, and people have it in their families. People, some of them have it in some of their churches. Well, we got to stand up, rebuke this thing so that the church will be able to rise up and prosper in this, in Jesus' name. So I want to encourage every person of faith, stand up, speak to it, pray for your church. Those that are listening, pray for your church, speak life to your church, and remember this, keep giving to your church. Keep bringing the tithes to the storehouse of God. Come on, somebody.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, that's what I believe.
I was just reading 16 million people last week filed for unemployment. Listen, the church needs to stand up and resist this thing. Josh, there was a scripture in Psalm chapter 106 that I thought was very interesting. And the whole setting and the arrangement was this outbreak of a plague amongst rebellious, defiant people. But there was a man whose name was Phineas, and he stood up and he intervened, and the plague was stopped, and that was accounted to him for righteousness to all generations. So, listen, there are righteous people on the earth right now, and we just can't sit back and watch this thing. Even if the wicked are destroyed, listen, we just can't sit back and just watch this thing. Somebody needs to stand up and intervene so that this plague can be lifted. 16 million people on unemployment as of last week. Listen, this is not a good thing. We cannot just let this run its course. Well, Josh, thank you so much for encouraging us. Thank you for being on the podcast, and thank you for staying strong, hanging in there, and pressing through.
Amen. I sent you the link. It's in the comments below of our ministry and how people can find out about our ministry.
All right, cool. We'll encourage people to check you out. Josh, thank you so much.
All right. Blessings.
Yes, sir. Bye-bye. Well, there you go, folks. Josh Radford. It was good to talk to him. Good to be on the podcast with him. Good to have him on. Check out his ministry, what he's doing, revivalife.net. He'll be here. He'll be there. He would come to your place and minister. Hallelujah. If you'd like the blessing of the Lord, you'd like to participate in Revival Fire Ministries. Hallelujah. He's got fire in his bones. We thank the Lord for Brother Josh. Well, be encouraged. Be strengthened. Don't back up. Don't bow down now. We need to rally together as a unified voice against this thing on behalf of those who are being potentially destroyed under it. Can you imagine 16 million people just last week alone filed for unemployment? Millions of businesses, they're projecting, may not be able to reopen. They're projecting a surge of bankruptcies. Some say up to 50% of restaurants won't survive. Certain airlines may even be shut down. Wow. Is there going to be somebody to intervene? Is there a church? Is there a body of Christ? Is there somebody with authority? Remember, even Brother Josh was encouraging us about Jesus when he stood up to the wind and the waves. The wind and the waves were not from God. Jesus stood up against them. People would be caught in the destruction of the wind and the waves had somebody not stood up and said no. While you may enjoy the wicked perishing for their evilness. Jesus desires their salvation. Remember that scripture where he says that he's not slack, as some consider slackness? What's the pause? What's his ultimate desire? I think he desires people to be saved. Let's get this virus off of people. Let's get it off of this nation. And then let's pray that the church rise up and go forth in power with a powerful message of salvation, with signs, wonders, and demonstrations following. Well, thank you so much for being a part of the podcast today. Thank you to everybody who's tuning in. Let me check the comments. Good to see everybody here today. Ellen, Cheryl, Penny, Lacey, good to see you guys. Richard, Nathan, love you, brother. Hey, Caroline from the Netherlands. Nathan says, you stand for something or we'll fall for everything. Well, we need to stand up. Stand up and be counted in the kingdom. Hallelujah. What did he say? Go to the cities, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, heal the sick, cast out demons, and tell them what? The kingdom has come near you. Stand up for the kingdom, folks. All right, thanks for tuning in to the podcast today. Hey, listen, every Thursday we're going to go live right here, Facebook, YouTube. Look for the audio podcast on platforms, Podbean, Spotify, iTunes. Look for us there here soon. Thank you so much for joining us today. Hope you were encouraged and strengthened. Until next time.